Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Vic and young Russell. The gentlemen are established at the library table, matching wits in a game of rummy. A hand has just been finished as we join our friends, and the conqueror is saying to the vanquished,
"It gives me a sweet, darling, warm little feeling to reflect that I'm probably the greatest rummy player on the face of the earth today."
"It's not very hard to win when you get dealt two spreads right off the bat."
"Did you pick at my hand?"
"Of course not."
"Then how could you have gotten privy to the information I got dealt two spreads?"
"Well, the half-wit game only lasted about a minute."
"It is a regrettable habit to jump at conclusions, Russell."
"Who's jumping at conclusions?"
"Why, hello, Stady, honey. We're about giving you up. We thought you'd run away to Peoria and got married."
"I did, and just got back."
"Come on, Goff, deal."
"I'm all through with my little work out in the backyard. Propped my panther's blood up with nice sticks. Oh, they're getting awful pretty now. It's in the evening they look best. Give off such a deep red."
"Want a kiss?"
"No, thanks." "Well, now what'll I do?"
"Tune up your trusty old violin and sing a wistful gypsy song which will take us in memory back to Mother's knee."
"I'll play rummy. Deal me in."
"We're right in the middle of a tournament, Mom."
"That's all right. I'll get in, too. Wait till I haul up a chair. I chatted with Mr. Sludge out and back when I was propping up my panther's blood. He was sitting on the back steps washing his shoes."
"Washing his shoes?"
"That's an old Ohio custom. In Ohio, they wash their shoes instead of polishing them."
"Well, Mr. Sludge isn't from Ohio."
"No, he's from Illinois. Where you want me, at the end here?"
"Mm-hmm."
"It's awful dull and tedious playing rummy, but I'm energetic this evening for some reason or other."
"Quite a compliment for us, Margaret."
"Yes.
We are dull and tedious."
"I gotta get splotched down here just right. I won't have room for my feet. I'll have a cramp in my knee as it is."
"Your cards are right in front of you."
"Mr. Sludge is all sunburned."
"That effect."
"He spent his whole noon hour today standing on the sidewalk in front of the 10-cent store looking at the window display. I guess he gets just hypnotized by window displays. Especially if they're like the ones the 10-cent store has, with all kinds of color and variety. You know, combs and pencils and fancy face powder boxes and sheet music and hairpins and frame pictures of Gloria Golden and all this, that, and other. No, he did. His whole noon hour he spent standing there in the bright sunshine gawping."
"Your cards are right in front of you."
"This is rummy." "Such a tiresome game."
"Why play it?"
"Ted Stembottom and the men down at the foundry play a game where the loser has to sit still while everybody hits him over the head hard as they can with a sledgehammer."
"Aww."
"Ruthie says she wishes they wouldn't play it. Too dangerous. What do they call that game, Russell? That game where all the winners hit the loser over the head hard as they can with a sledgehammer?"
"Drop the handkerchief?"
"No."
"Kiss the pillow?"
"Mm-mm." "Beefsteak?"
"Uh-huh."
"Beefsteak, babe?"
"I wouldn't have any idea."
"I'm pretty sure it's called beefsteak. About the roughest game you can imagine, Ruthie says. Well, of course, most of the bunch down there at the foundry is rough men. Person, it'd have to be rough to indulge in a pastime where if you lose, you sit still while everybody hits you over the head hard as they can with a sledgehammer." "Well, why don't we start in on this tedious business?"
"You start."
"Just a minute while I squelch my cards around and get the reds separated from the blacks."
"Smelly Clark was trying to make the guy..."
"Oh, I was going to tell you something about Uncle Fletcher, Vic."
"Tell me something about Uncle Fletcher, Sadie."
"Got to dreaming about him and his landlady situation while I was propping up my panther's blood just now. What if Miss Keller does up and get married and move away?"
"I would go out in the garden and eat worms. I would cry like a little child. I would..."
"No, but really, after these many, many, many years, it'd be just awful if Uncle Fletcher..." "What's the matter, Russell?"
"Start playing."
"Were you making motions at me?"
"Well, I was indicating it was your playing."
"Don't make motions at me, Mr. Man. Terrible, awful, a horrible, rude thing to do."
"Yeah.
Remember Mr. Scalder there in Dixon, Vic, that's wife left him on account of making signs and gestures at her?"
"You can start if you want to, kiddo."
"Start what?"
"A rummy game."
"I'm scotching my cards around, separating the reds from the blacks. Ish, why is it in card games people get so feverish and funny? Is there some big hurry? Goodness, seems to me the idea is to relax and..." "Oh, I dropped one. Pick it up, please, will you?"
"Yeah."
"No, but this Mr. Scalder married a girl from Sycamore. And they had the wedding ceremony in Dixon and took supper with his parents immediately afterwards. 6 or 7 out-of-town guests was present. Well, if Mr. Scalder didn't, very elaborate and ostentatious, make signs and gestures at his bride, demonstrating what fork she should use to eat with. I believe the way they tell the story even whispered loud across the table. No, Elizabeth. Use the fork with the little prongs. Dab at your mouth with your napkin every once in a while, Elizabeth. Looks dainty and ladylike. Elizabeth wasn't standing for that trash. About the third time Mr. Scalder pulled his little stunt, she calmly got up from the table, snapped the clamps closed on her valise, and fled out of there. So, you see, Russell, the trouble you can get into making signs and gestures at people. What you hand me that for?
Well, it's yours.
How do you mean?
You dropped it on the floor. I picked it up.
Oh, thanks.
Well, hey, let's go here. Say, do you want that nine of hearts?
Oh, isn't that up for me to decide for myself?
Well, decide.
I certainly can understand why Wild Western fellas shoot each other over card games. Cards makes people feverish and funny.
Well, I'm rapidly growing feverish and funny.
I've noticed that so much with Ted. He's like a dog with a bone. Ruthie'd take a minute out from the game to blow her nose or scratch her foot, and Ted looks at her like she'd poisoned his best friend. No, I say if cards makes you feverish and impatient and funny, but... Oh, yes, you dropped another.
You dropped three.
Pick them up.
Huh?
Talking to Russell.
Here's your tickets. 5 and 8 of clubs, queen of diamonds.
Which you like best, Helen, candy or pie?
Pie.
Pie is nice, and so is crackers. I bought a suit for 15 smackers.
I believe I got too many cards here. How many am I supposed to have?
10.
Oh. Now, about Uncle Fletcher, though, one thing is sure. If Miss Keller does get married and move to North Dakota, the first move he'll make will be to make tracks for that... What's the idea of that?
Have you got 10?
What?
Have you got 10 cards?
Do you realize you were both making motions at me?
Oh, I did it without thinking.
See, you started to count your cards and I...
You'd rather not hear what I started to say about Uncle Fletcher, hmm? I say if Miss Keller does get married and move to North Dakota, the first move Uncle Fletcher make is to scamper straight down to that horrible Bright Kentucky Hotel. So many of his cronies lives there. I just couldn't stand it if he'd done that. I wouldn't sleep nights. Just imagine him stumbling over those millions of railroad tracks in the dark, and switch engines crawling up behind a person and fast trains screaming past.
Yeah, telephone's ringing.
Ten Ruthie, I bet, feeling like 500.
Might possibly be Bluetooth, Josh.
I'll get it. Oh, I did get a clamp in my knee. Darn old library table. If it is Ten Ruthie, shall I tell him to come on ahead over?
Okay.
Oh, I'm in a terrible fix. Got a cramp in one knee and the other one's gone to sleep.
Rooster Davis loves to tell about the time him and his uncle...
Let's have it quiet. Hello? Who? No.
Is Fat there?
No, you have the wrong number.
That half-wit after Fat again.
Yeah.
There's no Fat here. This is the Gook residence. And I wish you'd stop calling this number. What?
Cut it out, Fat. I know you.
Yeah.
I'm not Fat, and I'm not joking. Please stop ringing this number.
Your dear old pal again?
Fat there.
One of these times I'm going to find out who that scoundrel is.
This is Fat speaking, ain't it? Cut it out, Fat. I know you.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Move your foot.
You going to go on with the card game?
Why don't you want your mother to go on with the card game?
Huh?
Move your foot.
Yeah.
I was talking with Mr. Sludge out in the alley. He's all sunburned. Spend his whole noon hour standing out in front of the tents and... Oh, I guess I told you about that. Oh, ish, but Rummy is a dull, tedious, tiresome game. As long as we're going to play it, though, let's go ahead and play it. Whose turn?
Yours.
All right. Well, just a minute while I slouch my cards around and get the reds separated from the blacks. Oh, drop some.
You dropped 4. No, 5.
Pick them up. Say, what's the name of that game Ted Stambottom and the men down at the foundry play, where if you lose, you sit down, let everybody hit you on the head hard as they can with a sledgehammer?
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.